Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. Woo! Yes, that will wake you up on this Monday morning. Super excited, everyone is here. I hope you enjoyed the first installation of our Italy journey, part one. Thank you so much for your feedback. And now we are on to Italy journey, part two. First of all, a little advertisement. What's going on with Olami 613? We had our first ever self-defense course today, which was awesome. Shout out to the women who came today. The men we scheduled after the Super Bowl, just because Sundays and men, you know. So that is happening February 15th for all the young professional men out there in Chicago who would like to be taught for a self-contained session of self-defense, awareness, etc. It is going to be awesome. The ladies rocked it today. It was unbelievable. I was not there, but my beautiful, wonderful wife, Siri, was and said that it was incredible. Shout out to Jenny Belson and Yarden Ish Shalom. Amazing Israeli, we know. And Jenny for their idea and helping to implement that. They're wonderful ladies there today. So that's awesome. We are taking all suggestions now for cool programming as we enter 2026. And yes, any young professionals downtown Chicago this weekend, January 23rd to 24th, we are going to be warming up the frigid tundra of downtown Chicago in our beautiful River North Center with lots of heaters going on and a lot of good emotional, spiritual warmth happening in our Shabbos in the city. So if anyone is interested in that, you can go to olami613.org. olami613.org/events. And you will see it right there. All right, here we go. Italy, it's time to do. I think I'm getting a little better on the Italiana accent. And we left off as we arrived in Rome. Now, Rome, I fundamentally believe every Jew should go visit Rome. And the reason why I believe every Jew should visit Rome is because of a statement of our rabbis. Our rabbis said, and we mentioned this last week, that Hakol Kol Yaakov V'Yadayim Yedei Esav. The voice is the voice of Jacob, and the hands are the hands of Yaakov. And actually, I'm not sure if we mentioned this last week. I mentioned a lot in my teaching last week. I'm not sure we mentioned it on the podcast. And where does it come from? It comes from the story in Bereshis, in Genesis, where Isaac is giving the blessing to who he thinks is Esav, but really it is Yaakov. And he's dressed up as Esav. Yaakov himself was not a hairy man, so he put on the goat skins, and so he would feel hairy. And Yitzhak at that point was blind, and he feels Yaakov's hands, and he says, and he listens to the voice, he says, "Akol kol Yaakov v'yadayim yedei Esav." Now Yaakov knew how to throw Esav's voice, so it wasn't the intonation, he sounded like Esav, but he said things like please and thank you. And he mentioned Hashem. And so between the please and thank you and mentioning Hashem, it's like, wow, this is frummer. This is more religious than Esav has ever sounded. So, but that is a snippet. That is a paradigm for the distinction between Jews and non-Jews. Jews always believe that conflict can be resolved first through speech and then through force, whereas the non-Jewish nations usually have the other way around. Beat the guy up first, and then discuss everything later. You know, this statement, the pen is mightier than the sword, is a fundamentally Jewish concept, because we believe that the spirit ultimately will conquer, will be eternal over physicality, which eventually erodes. Even the mighty Colosseum eventually will erode. So we come to the Colosseum, and we have to have their tour guides. This woman was actually wonderful. She was a great Italian tour guide. And the only issue was that I was a little bit of a nudnik, but she didn't know that I was being a nudnik. Nudnik is like an annoyance. And so she said very clearly, which is a historical fact, that the Roman Colosseum was built, initiated by Titus. He was not very popular at the time, even though he destroyed the temple. But nevertheless, there was a lot of economic woes, et cetera, going on in the empire. And so he was going to cheer up the people by building this amazing large Colosseum. And he built it with Jewish money from the temple, from Judea, from the whole Jewish, from Israel that he conquered and brought back to Rome. Not only did he bring gold and money and valuables back, he also brought back thousands of Jewish slaves. And the Jewish slaves were the ones who built this Colosseum. And I was joking with the tour guide. I said, wait a minute, the Colosseum was built with Jewish money and Jewish slaves. We should at least get free admission. She laughed and said, oh, I don't think so. But anyway, I think she thought it was sort of cute. She began by describing the first 100 days of the inauguration of the Colosseum. The first 100 days were games, you know, like the Olympics. And she said, about 12,000 animals were killed in the first 100 days. There was 100 days straight of these gladiator, quote-unquote, games. Now, she was about to move on, and this is where I was a little bit of a nudnik, and I innocently asked her, I said, wow, 12,000 animals were killed? Were there any people who were killed? Question mark, innocent little question. And she said, oh, well, it's harder to know, but they think anywhere between 12 and 15,000 people were killed. 12 and 15,000 people killed in the first 100 days of this Colosseum, thrown to the lions, thrown to the gladiators, poor slaves for the entertainment. And then she continued on. And she said, you know, the whole hand up and the hand down, the thumb up, thumb down. It's a matter, what do you think? And what she was referring to was that when there basically was a gladiator or a slave on the ground, before they would pierce the slave with a sword or a trident spear, they would ask the emperor and the crowd if they should have mercy on this person on the ground. And that's where the famous, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down. And if it was thumbs down, then that was it. They would kill the person on the spot. So she said, well, you know, it's not what the people think. You know, the thumb up was really like an arm outstretched. And the down wasn't really down. The thumb wasn't down. It was just a sideways, like a turning the thumb a sideways. And I thought she was going to say, it's not what you think. They didn't really have these votes. It wasn't as cruel as people said. She didn't say that. She just said that they didn't put their thumb down. They put their thumb sideways when they wanted to kill the person. And then I asked another question. Oh, would they kill the person later? And she said, oh, no, they would kill them on the spot. Okay, and now let's go to the next spot. And it was unbelievable, the level of cruelty that is going on there. And we left the Colosseum, and it was incredibly powerful to see that a place dedicated to such cruelty, and that we, the Jewish people, had such an integral part of it. It was a little bit of puzzling for me. So I went out, and we were right at Titus's arch, and I told the group, I said, I want to do a little recap. And the recap I gave was that every Sunday in America, there are two gladiator teams that fight each other with an oblong ball made of originally pigskin and now leather with white stripes, white stitching in it, called a football. And the only reason why those two gladiator teams, apologies and condolences both to my 49ers and the Chicago Bears, end parentheses, as we're recording Sunday night. And the only reason why they're playing with footballs and basketballs and baseballs and not killing each other, literally, is because the Jews won the argument of history. Lo tirzach, thou shalt not murder, was not an obvious comment and was not an obvious idea. And it's certainly not an accepted idea at that time, 2,000 years ago. In fact, the dominant ideology was might makes right. And therefore, God, it does not matter that, you know, people were killed. They didn't believe that people were made in God's image, like the Jewish people taught the world. And so I told our group that we should be filled with pride. We should be swelling with pride, overflowing with joy. That we, the Jewish people, with the Torah that God gave us at Mount Sinai, we're the ones who taught the world that thou shalt not murder. We're the ones who taught the world that might doesn't make right. And we should be extremely proud of being Jewish. And it was a very powerful message. And I want to say something that I did not say in Rome, because it didn't hit me till later. Now this, I'm going a little advanced. Follow me. It's a little Mach 5. And then we're going to come back to the Arch of Titus. Okay, that's the game plan. So there is an idea that I'd like to share with you that I heard many times from my rabbi of blessed memory, Rav Nachman Bulman, who was the mashkiach, the spiritual guide, I guess you could say, at Or Sameach for many years. We became very close. He was my first real rabbi. And he quoted the Maharal, a great sage, in the 1500s, who said an amazing idea, that every time the Jewish people is sent into exile, they're sent into a country, a nation, that embodies the sin for which we were kicked out of Israel. Meaning that if we were, let's say, overly philosophical and getting weak in our service of God, then we would go be exiled to a place or put under control in Israel of a nation that was overly philosophical and did not serve Hashem. And so that's the Greeks. If we were too into the physical realm and not enough into the spiritual realm, we would be exiled to Babylonia, because the Babylonians, the Iraqis of yore and Nebuchadnezzar, were very into physical indulgence. And therefore, it's sort of like the kid. Teenage kid or whatever, who you know, has the box of cigars from his father, and he steals the cigar and he smokes. The father catches him, and the father says, "I'm locking you in this closet until you finish every last cigar. You are going to live the reality of your sin." And therefore, I would like to take that idea and apply it to what happened in Rome. Now, I usually give over things that I've seen written by rabbis, and I've processed them. This is an extension, my own personal extension of an idea. I've never seen it written. So, okay, here we go. And the idea goes like this. The second temple that the Romans destroyed and exiled us and brought us to Rome was because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. The Jewish people were arguing, were bickering at a very ferocious level, to the point where we were so divided that we could not only work together, but we actively worked towards each other's defeat. And anyone knows even a little bit about all the factions that were happening during that time within the Jewish people, that we acted cruelly to each other. And dawned on me, after I returned from the trip, that how is it that the Roman Colosseum was built with Jewish money and with Jewish slaves? And the answer is, I believe applying this concept is that if we were cruel to each other, then we are going to be dragged in exile, and our money and our labor and our blood, sweat, and tears is literally going to be used to build the cruelest place on planet Earth. Not cruelty in battle, not cruelty for survival, cruelty for entertainment, cruelty for the fun of it. That is cruelty, and that was the punishment of the Jewish people. If you are going to be cruel to your fellow Jew, then you are going to be brought to the capital of cruelty, and you are going to be the ones who are going to make it. I think that's an extremely powerful idea, and one that I hope that we can take note of. Now, so it was that I did not give over to our students, but I think it's still a very powerful one. I gave over the one about Jewish pride, but I think both those messages together, the Jewish pride that we taught the world that murder is wrong, but yet nevertheless, we were punished for our cruelty measure for measure and had a hand in building this place of cruelty. Now, I want to turn to next to the Roman Forum where we went. And it was absolutely unbelievable. Now, this was like a life dream of mine. I'd heard this, you know, about Titus's arch so many times, so many stories. And there is a very famous story of Rav Kahaneman, who was one of the great rabbis of the 20th century. And he really built an amazing yeshiva called Panovich. It was named after the town in Europe, Lithuania. And he started building this yeshiva in 1942. And people thought he was crazy. What are you doing? The Jewish people is being liquidated and you're building yeshiva in Israel? He said, yes, because I am building for the future. I am building that when this war ends at some point, we are going to rebuild Torah. We're going to rebuild Jewish scholars. And there are thousands and thousands of students at Panovich today. So he was a real visionary. And the story goes is that he went to Rome, for whatever reason, went to Rome, and he got there late at night. And he asked the taxi driver to bring him to Titus's Arch. And he goes to Titus's Arch and he gets out. It's at nighttime. And he screams out, Titus, Titus. That is Titus in Hebrew. Titus, Titus, where are you? Where are you? I am here. I am here. I, as a member of the Jewish people here 2,000 years later. And where are you? And the answer is he's literally only selling tickets for tourism. That's the only thing where Titus has left. And one of the mentors, I'll give a shout out to Archie Schupp, who was one of the amazing mentors on the trip. He pointed out something amazing. If you look at the construction in Rome, the construction in Rome is all about rebuilding the ruins and making them functional again as tourist attractions. But there were there was very little new construction. And he said that you go to Yerushalayim and all the eye can see is new construction. And in fact, after Italy, I went to Israel for a few days to visit not only my own daughter and son-in-law, but our spiritual children as well, who are studying in yeshiva and seminary. And I went on the Cords Bridge, which is right at the entrance of Jerusalem. And I did a panoramic shot and I sent the video to the group. And I said, this is the building. You can't even count the number of cranes, all the diggers, all the construction that is happening. They're building in the process of building 18 towers, residential and commercial, at the very beginning, just at the entrance. They're building a whole new city within a city. And that's just that section of Jerusalem. And everywhere else is burgeoning because Rome lives in the past and the Jewish people live for the future. Our future is incredibly, incredibly bright. And speaking of a bright future, I want to finish off with just a little vignette of something that happened that showed just how powerful these trips are and how just insightful our young professionals at Olami 613 can be. So we finished the Roman Forum, we'd finished the Colosseum, and then our final activity for that day was we were going to Gladiator School. Now, Gladiator School was something, it's a draw, it's fun, you dress up as a gladiator and you learn how to fight and put on different crazy costumes, and what was really remarkable is that one of our young professionals, his name is Mitchell, give him a shout out. And Mitchell turns to me, he says, Rabbi, you know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable going to gladiator school after everything we learned, how cruel these people were and how you know, really cruel these people were. I don't really want to go dress up as a gladiator. And I turned to Mitch and I said, Bravo, you got it. You have gotten the educational lesson of what it means to be Jewish. And I was so proud. As I was donning my gladiator costume and uniform, I was really, truly proud of him. And you know, it's the tension of how much do you water down your values to be attractive? And it's a general question in Jewish outreach. When we were, you know, selling the trip, quote unquote, marketing the trip, you know, gladiator school, and it sounds like exciting. But once you really realize it, he said, you know, Rabbi, it's sort of like in 2,000 years from now going to Nazi school. And you know what? He was right. And I appreciated his sensitivity. And he obviously came along but didn't participate. And I said, you know what? Our future is bright. What an incredibly sensitive, incredibly perceptive, moral insight that he had. And I think that's really bespeaks the entire trip of how bright and positive these Olami 613 and Olami St. Louis young professionals truly are. And I hope that they and the trip in general will inspire you and inspire all of us to appreciate and to overflow with joy about how awesome and amazing it is to be Jewish and what we've taught to the world. And also how important it is to be kind to our fellow Jews, and that will train us to be kind to everyone, and that we should reflect this week what a gift it is to be part of the most glorious nation, the Energizer Bunny of history, when our oppressors are all long gone and we will be able to spike the football of history. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.